Good morning, y'all. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is great to be here with you today. It's great to be in Texas. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, so I came here to get out of the heat and maybe pick the wrong time of year to do that in Texas. But bring you greetings from my wife, Debbie, who's back home in Phoenix, praying for us today. Sometimes she travels with me when I'm on the road, but our daughter and four of our grandkids came into town this weekend, so the choice for her was travel with Mike or see the grandkids, and for some reason I lost, but she is praying for us. I bring you greetings from the Board of Trustees of LCMC and your fellow churches and leaders. I want to thank you as I get started today for your investment in the larger association of Lutheran congregations and Mission for Christ. Not only your financial support, but you share Jason Elliott with us. And we are so thankful for that. Jason is a member of our national board, and he brings a presence of wisdom and of just love for the Lord. And he's gotten to be just a good friend. And so thank you for sharing Jason with us. Also, Randy Clark, a member of our Saviors, is on another of our national boards called the Ministry Board, and he is a recent addition, and just having a lot of fun getting to know Randy, and again, he's just brought a lot of wisdom, brings a healthy perspective and a love for the Lord. So thank you for that. And for me, it's always good to see Pastor Law, and I love your senior pastor. I love his passion for the Lord. I love his passion for you, his love for you, and for those who don't yet know Jesus as Savior and Lord. So it's just great to be with you. He did ask me to share, what is it that I do? My title is a little confusing to some people. It's confusing to me, actually, but I'm called the Service Coordinator for Lutheran Congregations and Mission for Christ. So occasionally I get an email from somebody that'll say, oh, do you help plan worship services? Is that what a service coordinator does? Well, I can. My position is what is known in other Lutheran bodies as the bishop. But we wanted to establish right from the very beginning when LCMC was started 21 years ago, that not only someone in my position, but leaders at every area in LCMC were going to have a servant heart. We were going to be there to serve people rather than have the people serve us. And so I am called the service coordinator, and I can help plan worship services if that's needed in the future. So that's a little bit of what I do. I want to share a message with you today entitled, Don't Settle for Less. Don't settle for less. And I think it's an important message for me. I need to hear this time and time again. And perhaps you do too. Unfortunately, the history of God's people is settling for less. Not only in Scripture, but we can see it throughout history. And the Lord first began to speak to me about this one day when I was meeting with him during my coffee time for Jesus with my 5-year-old white lab, Maggie Mae. So that's Maggie Mae on the screen. Guess what music I listened to when I was younger? We get up, Maggie and I get up about 5 o'clock every morning, and we go out to the kitchen. She sleeps in the bedroom with Debbie and I, Debbie, my wife of 45 years, and she, Maggie and I, go out into the kitchen, and we put on a good pot of Sumatra coffee. Actually, I've recently changed over from brewing a pot of coffee. Now I'm a little bit of a coffee snob. I do a pour over. I do a pour over, and anyway, I prepare 2 cups of coffee, and one for me and one for Jesus, because I'm going to sit down and meet with him in his word. And so we sit down, Maggie and I sit down, I pray, and I begin to read God's word and sipping on my good cup of coffee, because Jesus loves coffee. I hope you know that. Amen, Pastor Mike. I hate it when pastors, preachers do that. How many of you like tea, by the way, instead of coffee? Okay, that's okay. God loves you too. Just wanted you to know that. Not as much, but he loves you too. So I prepare these two cups of coffee. Jesus always shares his cup with me, which is really nice of him. And I meet with him in his word. And one day I was meeting with him in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And it was just the assigned reading for the day in my Bible reading plan that I was going through. And in Exodus chapter 14, the Israelites have started to finally leave Egypt. And here comes Pharaoh's army after them. Pharaoh has changed his mind again. And we pick up the story in chapter 14, beginning with verse 10. So this is what I read that morning. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish, that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." For some reason, that morning, it's almost as if I heard a voice. It's as if I heard the Holy Spirit saying to me, "Mike, do you see it? Do you see it?" And I actually said out loud, and Maggie was right there with me, I said out loud, "See what, Lord?" And it's as if I heard the Lord said, "Did you see my people? My people, when they're faced with challenge, when they're faced with change, as Susan was talking about today, when they're faced with opposition, when they're faced with hardship, they panic and they settle for less." But then I noticed also in that passage, the Egyptians and the Israelites weren't the only ones involved in the passage. God was there. And even though they were willing to settle for less, even though God's people were willing to settle for less, God was not willing to allow them. And he, in his almighty power, makes a way where there seemingly can be no way. And they're able to move in to the things that God has for them. Now, I'm a little slow on the uptake, and the Lord and my wife both know they need to tell me something more than once for me to finally start getting it. So some months later, I was meeting with the Lord again in Luke 15, the gospel text that Pastor Law read for us this morning. And again, it's as if the Holy Spirit said to me, "Mike, did you see it? Did you see it?" "Well, what, Lord? What? What?" The Son. He's willing to settle for less. He's gone, and he's used up the inheritance that he asked for. Now he's coming home, and he says, "I'm just willing to be a servant. I just need a roof over my head. I need clothes on my back, and I need some good barbecue to eat. That's all I need." He's willing to settle for less, but he's not the only one in the story. The Father is there. A father who so loves his child that he's not willing to let him settle for less. Beloved, you and I can be sometimes like those Israelites. We can be like that son. And we, for various reasons, can be willing to settle for less. But we have a good, good Father in heaven who's determined to be good to us, even when we may not deserve him. Maybe especially when we do not deserve him to be good to us. Don't settle for less. We could unpack this all day, but let me just point out three ways that maybe we could think about today in regards to not settling for less. The first is this: don't settle for thinking someone else is the one when in fact you are the one. I'm a movie fan, and I'm a movie fan of epic trilogies like Star Wars, the good first trilogy, not the bad second sucky trilogy. Can you say sucky? It comes from the Hebrew word sake. And just the second trilogy wasn't as good. Or The Matrix, or especially The Lord of the Rings. And one of the things I love about these epic stories is they remind us of something that we so easily forget. And that's this. It's the one who may seem the most unlikely to be the one who is in fact the one. I mean, in Star Wars, Luke Skywalker is just a farmer. Thomas Anderson in The Matrix, he's just a computer software guy. And Frodo, well, Frodo's a halfling. He's just a little dude with incredibly big, hairy feet. But in Star Wars, it's in fact Luke, the farmer, who discovers he's a Jedi Knight. And he's the one to lead the battle against the evil empire. It's Neo, it's Thomas Anderson, who discovers, in fact, he is Neo, the one who's to lead the way to freedom in The Matrix. And in The Lord of the Rings, it's Frodo. It's not King Aragorn, the handsome, swashbuckling king. Law and I are often confused for Aragorn. People think, you know, because of how we look. It's Frodo who's the one who has to destroy the power of evil over the land. The epic story in Scripture is a story of what God has done for you and I that we can never do for ourselves in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of what God has already done for you and I that we can never do for ourselves, He is able to equip and empower you and I to be the one. You are the one, beloved. You are a particular person in a particular place at a particular time. Wherever you happen to live here in Victoria or in the surrounding area or up in Waco, you are the one. You have an enemy who's going to try to deceive you, though, into thinking you're not the one. There is a very real being called the devil. He doesn't like God, and he doesn't like you and I. And he is going to try to deceive us and derail us from the very plans that God has for you and I and through us for others. We need to be aware of that. And sometimes that deception that the enemy tries to work in our lives can enter into how we think of and view ourselves. About 2 years ago, I was privileged to see God working through someone who the enemy was trying to tempt to believe they were less than the one. I was part of a team that went to Cuba to work with some pastors there and to work in some illegal house churches there. So I got to be part of this team that went to be with, on the upper right corner there, with Osmani and Uniette, a young couple who pastor Gate of Heaven Church in outside of Cienfuegos, Cuba. They are a sister church of yours. It's one of the three illegal house churches that we worked with. And we had a great time. So we put this team together, six people. Four of us were pastors. A fifth member of the team was my wife, Debbie, who grew up in a pastor's home. She's a pastor's kid. The sixth person joined at the last minute, and she's a pastor's wife, Jennifer Sellers. And by her own admission, her own self-description, as she joined our team, is, I don't know why I want to go on this trip because I'm just a housewife. That's what Jennifer said. That's how Jennifer viewed herself. That's how Jennifer thought of herself. Well, we go to Cuba. She comes with us. We go to Cuba. We get to minister in these house churches. We're more blessed, I think, than they're blessed. And on the last day, we're meeting with Osmani and Uniette. And we ask them, is there a way we can pray for you? We'll certainly be praying for Gate of Heaven Church and for the other churches, but personally, is there a way we can be praying for you? And they began to cry. And Uniette said, well, yes, there is a way you can pray for us. I just received my third diagnosis that I will never be able to have children. And that was one of her lifelong dreams, was that she would be able to have children and be a mom. And Osmani was teary-eyed too. And he said through his tears, you have no way of knowing how painful it is to find out you're not going to be able to be a mom and a dad, to be parents. Osmani and Uniette had no way of knowing. Only Debbie and I on the team knew that Jennifer Sellers, the just a housewife, who joined the team at the last minute and she didn't know why, this was her story. This was Jennifer's God story. She and her husband Graham had been told multiple times, you will never be able to have children. It's physically impossible. And they were prayed for quite a few times, and nothing happened. And one day, a friend came and said, I know you guys have been prayed for time and again. I don't want to bother you, but I really think God wants me to pray for you to be able to become pregnant. And they said, yeah, okay. They weren't full of faith. They weren't bold in the Lord. They said, okay. And so this brother prays for them. And a few months later, Jennifer finds out she's pregnant. And she gives birth to Karis and to Naomi and to Anna Grace and to my godson, Samuel Michael Sellers. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And Jennifer, who's not supposed to be able to have children, gives birth to not one, not two, not three, but four incredible children. That's her story. And she was added to the team at the last minute. And Uniette, she's so excited. She says, would you pray for me? Now remember, there's four pastors on the team. We all stand up. She just asked for prayer. The pastors are going to come and pray. And Uniette says, no, not you guys. I want her to pray for me. The one who humanly may have seemed to be the most unlikely to be the one was in fact the one. And whether you realize it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you feel it or not here this morning, that's the word of the Lord for you. You are the one. You are a particular person in a particular place at a particular time. And it's you somebody needs to meet. They don't need to meet Law. They don't need to meet me. They don't need to meet Jason or Randy or Gina or anybody else here. They need to meet you, and they need to hear your God story, and they need to encounter Jesus in you. Beloved, don't settle for less. Don't settle for believing somebody else is the one when in fact you are the one. A second way I want to encourage us, encourage myself this morning, to not settle for less is in this way. Don't settle for believing that you're enough is not enough. Don't settle for believing that you're enough is not enough. Now, we all have something of enough that we don't believe is enough. I don't know enough. I don't speak well enough. Moses tried that one. I'm not good enough. I don't have enough courage. I don't pray enough. I don't read the word enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit enough. My God story isn't exciting enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not young enough. I mean, the list could go on, right? Just think today, what's your enough that you think is not enough to be of service to the Lord and of blessing to someone else? Well, here's some good news. In the hands of our Lord and Savior, what you may think is not enough can become more than enough. Let me read a passage for you here from Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. This is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. I'm actually going to pick the story up in verse 12. So Luke chapter 9, verse 12. a crowd is gathered, a multitude is gathered, and the disciples say to Jesus, send the crowd away so that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside to lodge and get provisions, for we're here in a deserted place. But Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. Doesn't say, I'll give them something to eat. He says, you give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. We don't have enough. Our supplies are not enough. There were about 5,000 men, and who know how many women and children were part of this, and we just don't have enough to feed them all. And so Jesus says to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of about 50 each. They did so and made them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were filled. What was left over was gathered up 12 baskets of broken pieces. Beloved, in the hands of our Lord and Savior, our not enough can become more than enough. So I want to ask you this morning, what's your not enough? And I want to encourage you today, before you leave church, offer your not enough up to the Lord. Maybe while we're singing the closing song, or maybe you want to pray with somebody before you leave church, but take your not enough and offer it up to the Lord. Well, Lord, I'm not old enough, but I offer my age and who I am up to you, and just use me, Lord. And then watch the Lord take that not enough and make it more than enough. Some of you might offer up to the Lord the opposite. Lord, I'm too old. I'm too old. I'm not young enough. Offer that up to the Lord and watch the Lord take that not enough and make it more than enough to have an impact on people's lives for his kingdom through you. Don't settle for believing that your enough is not enough. And finally, the third thing is, don't settle for living a life that can be explained without the Holy Spirit. Don't settle for a life that can be explained without the Holy Spirit. God wants you and I to live with a healthy disregard for the impossible. Now, he doesn't want us to ignore reality. He doesn't want us to live in denial, but he wants us to know that he may have a superior reality to our experienced reality that he wants us to receive. And that can only happen through a living relationship with the Holy Spirit who lives within us. The Holy Spirit who lives within in you and I still can't wrap my head around this law. Maybe you've wrapped your head around it. I haven't. This is the same Holy Spirit who lived in Jesus. The same Holy Spirit who empowered Jesus to say everything he said and do everything he did lives in you and me. This is the same Holy Spirit who lived in the disciples, who said to the guy beside the road, what we have we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he's healed emotionally, relationally, physically, spiritually, and off he's going, leaping and jumping and praising God. That's the Holy Spirit that's in you and me. But sometimes we're just not attentive to or aware of his presence in us. Now, somebody might ask this morning, well, Pastor Mike, how can I pray to get more of that Holy Spirit? And I'm going to answer you, you can't. You can't get more of the Holy Spirit. You got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to need. When you were baptized or when you came to faith in Christ later as a teen or adult, you got 100% grade A Holy Spirit. You can't get any more of him. Maybe he can get more of you, though. Maybe we can surrender. Maybe we can respond to the command of the Lord, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. He speaks, he commands. Maybe our response is to surrender. Say, Lord, I want to get out of the way. I want your already presence in me to be stirred up and to be released through me. And the Holy Spirit works through all kinds of ways. And don't just think of the big ways the Holy Spirit works. For instance, you might be going to HEB, and there's the the guy or the gal at the counter and you just hear a thought or impression, just give him a smile. Give him or her a smile. And you do, and you may not realize the impact that has on them that day. See, the Holy Spirit moves through those little, seemingly little, innocuous ways to do really big things. Don't settle for living a life that can be explained without the Holy Spirit. Well, in closing, I just want to ask this question. So how can you and I say no to the temptation to settle for less? Well, let's just pay attention to the basics. Let's just get back to the fundamentals. Let's pray. Let's immerse ourselves in God's Word. Let's be people of the Word. Let's be reading God's Word. Let's be talking about God's Word. And as we pray and immerse ourselves in the Word of God, here's a few bullet points to be aware of. Pay attention to what begins to come to mind and what begins to be brought to your attention. There might be a scripture that does the proverbial jumping off the page at you. And it begins to take on personal meaning to you. It becomes a personal word to you. Pay attention to that. Pay attention as you're praying and as you're immersing yourself in God's Word to conversations you have with one another, and somebody says something and they don't even realize it, but it is, there's a weight to it and it has meaning for you and it becomes the Word of the Lord to you. So pay attention to what begins to come to mind and what begins to be brought to your attention. Share what the Lord is bringing to your mind with other mature brothers and sisters in the Lord whose counsel you trust. Bounce it off of them. Process it with them. What do you think? And how should I look at this? Find those guys or gals you can have those kinds of conversations with. Invite them to pray with you. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how the Lord might be calling you to respond and how he's going to empower your response. And finally, ask the Lord to stir up afresh in your hearts an awareness and an experience of the Holy Spirit's empower and presence who's already in you. God loves to answer that prayer. Lord, help me just be aware of the Holy Spirit's presence and however you want to impact others through me, through that presence of the Holy Spirit, please do. I'll leave you with a prayer that you can pray. In fact, I dare you to pray this prayer. And in fact, I double dog dare you to pray this prayer. I used to say that when I was a kid. I don't know if any of you did. I double dog dare you. That's a real dare. Here's the prayer. It comes from church history. Lord, do whatever you need to do in me so you can do whatever you want to do through me. Now, the Greek word, as a pastor, you got to say something Greek. Here's the Greek word for this because you're a pastor. And you went to seminary. And so here's the Greek word for whatever. You know what that really means? Whatever. That's what it means. Whatever. Lord, do whatever you need to do in me. Change any way of thinking in me that's not helpful. Change any habits I have that are not helpful. Lord, change whatever feelings I have that are not helpful. Lord, do whatever you need to do in me so you can do whatever you want to do through me. And then just begin to pay attention. Stay in God's Word. Be praying. And just tell the Lord, I don't want to settle for less. I don't want to live a life that can be explained without the Holy Spirit. And then just watch what God does. It's going to be cool. Amen.